right. So what cuts does this debt deal, do you think, set in stone? What can we count on that might be carved out of future defense spending?
Well, I think it's important to first understand the president's original plan, because he was proposing a $4 trillion cut, and then to understand, step back from that and see what actually came out of what I call the Debt Reduction Act, but what is officially known as the Budget Control Act of 2011, because the situation is slowly deteriorating for the Defense Department over time. The president on April 13th had originally proposed a $4 trillion debt reduction plan, largely in response to the House budget resolution and also the almost collapsing of the federal government earlier in the year in the 2011 process. But the president divided the cuts. $2 trillion would go to spending, of which DOD would only pick up about $400 billion. About 20% of the cut would come from DOD in terms of the spending cut itself. The rest would come from discretionary budgets, about $600 billion out of Medicare costs, and about $300 or $400 billion out of other mandatory entitlements. There was about another $1 trillion, and this, of course, has been a big stumbling block, $1 trillion worth of tax increases, and about another $1 trillion worth of lower interest because, of course, the government wouldn't borrow the $2 trillion that it would not be spending. So what eventually came out of Congress in response to the president's plan was actually a three-part plan that is now only $2.4 trillion. But unfortunately for DOD, it is not as favorable from a resourcing perspective as the president's original plan. So tranche number one that we know is going to immediately be implemented here in 2012 is about a $900 billion cut. It's going to be about $760 billion of that is actual spending reductions. And about another $150 billion remainder is interest that is not going to accrue because we're not going to borrow the money.
And by the way, we're talking over 10 years, correct?
Yes, sir. The original plan, Tom, that the president had advocated was 2013 through 2023, which was good news for DOD because it wouldn't impact the 2012 budget. The new plan that Congress has passed, the president has signed, takes effect immediately with cuts, or at least flatlining, starting immediately here in 2012. So big issues, big decisions are going to have to be made, not just in the 2013 budget, which we won't see until next February, but are immediately going to be hitting us here in 2012, which is going to have significant disruption for the services. So,
well, I'd like to get your take on something along those lines. We've been hearing that the Defense Business Board had come up with its draft proposal that would change how the retirement system works for the Department of Defense. And, you know, for years it's been considered sacred, untouchable, and now maybe it's being considered unaffordable. Would that be something that would actually be on the table?
Absolutely. When Secretary Gates was a huge advocate of protecting the mission, protecting DOD resourcing, because we were involved in two wars. And so when you looked at it, what's currently called, Amy, the OSD Roles and Missions Review, it's obviously Secretary Panetta's. He's now inherited it, and he'll make the final decisions. But when Secretary Gates initially set it up, the first bin or the first bucket would be additional efficiencies, right, beyond the $100 billion that the services already found last year, and $78 billion worth of more OMB-imposed cuts last December.
Mm-hmm.
The second bucket is going to be what Secretary Panetta or Secretary Gates would have referred to as defense operating costs. And this is this insidious 5 to 7% growth per year that you're seeing in the military personnel accounts, or the MIL-PER accounts, and you also see in the O&M accounts. So this is something that's going to be very difficult. I would absolutely expect OSD to go after this defense operating bucket, both in terms of the healthcare, the TRICARE, and also in terms of the retirement benefits. I don't think that OSD is going to focus on, since we're currently involved in two wars, and I think Chairman Mullen, Mike Mullen, has been very clear about this, protect the all-volunteer force in terms of the active duty force now, and protect the families. Those are going to be two areas that are going to be absolutely protected, but I would expect the final OSD rules missions report to target additional cuts to TRICARE and also to target additional cuts to retirement and compensation going forward.
And we're going to let you take a drink of water, Tom.
That's right. We're speaking with Jim McAleese, the founder and principal at McAleese & Associates. And so when you protect the families, but also make cuts to TRICARE. How does that manifest itself? Because it sounds like somewhat contradictory ambitions.
I don't know necessarily, Tom, that Congress is going to support the plan. It is important. It is clear that the goal is to find more efficiencies first, then to force Congress to reduce. If DOD's top line is coming down, I think the Secretary's position, I don't want to speak for him, but the Secretary's position, I believe, if my top line is coming down, then give me the flexibility inside that smaller top line to be able to spend my money more effectively in terms of balancing force structure reductions, not having these uncontrollable exploding health care and retirement costs that just keep going up every year. And in doing so, the idea is to be able to free up funding to be put into the active force and also to be able to modernize and recapitalize the force. Because what we have found, when I go back to and I do the analysis from the drawdowns after Korea, after Vietnam, after the Reagan era, what usually happens, it's inevitable. In those past three drawdowns, you cannot cut the force structure fast enough. That usually takes 4 to 6 years. And so because the force structure doesn't come down, the military personnel accounts, the big MILPER accounts don't come down. And because the force structure and the big MILPER accounts don't come down, the operations and maintenance accounts that you need for each soldier, Marine, sailor, airman do not come down. So by default, usually the big bill payer is procurement.
A lot of federal managers are hoping that you have a crystal ball and that you can tell them what it is they can expect as this process continues. And, of course, who knows? But are there any particular red flags or milestones that we need to be keeping our eyes out for as this process continues?
Sure. I mean, let me give you three things. Let me tell you what I think our budget's going to look like. And, again, it's not my money. It's the president's and the secretary's and the taxpayer's money. But what the DOD budget is going to look like in 2012 and 2013. Then let me tell you what the key dates are going to be that we should be watching for the super committee.
Fair enough.
And then let me tell you, there's a handful of members on the super committee that I would be watching carefully. 12 members is just too many major people making too many positions, too many moving parts. So it's a handful of people that I think are going to be the real players that drive the final decisions. We are currently at $532 billion in DOD's base budget in 2011. When you go through the 74-page act, you know, the Budget Control Act, what you basically see is that we're going to receive about $27 billion over the department of the cuts here in 2012. So I think our budget is going to fall from we are not going to get the $553 billion request that is currently over at the Hill. I think we're actually going to get about $526 billion in 2012, which is going to be about a $6 billion reduction from where DOD currently is here in 2011, or about a 1% cut to our top line. It is very clear that both the administration and Congress are effectively going to, at best, flatline DOD spending in 2013. So I would only anticipate 2013 spending to be about $530 billion. The bad news is the cuts are going to come immediately in 2012 and 2013. The good news is the cuts are not going to be precipitous and dramatically draconian immediately. The two dates you want to keep in mind for the super committee is going to be November 23rd. This is when they're going to have to come up with their final report. Right, and again, it's a 12-member committee. So all you got to do is have one person is going to be the swing vote either way. And then, of course, December 23rd, which is of course Christmas Eve, is when both the House and the Senate must vote up or down. No changes, no amendments, no deferring, no delays. So one way or the other, by Christmas Day, we're going to know either OMB is going to be making the changes to the fiscal year 2013 budget, which we'll see in the first week of February, or this draconian sequester mechanism that Secretary Panetta is genuinely concerned about, and rightly so, will immediately take place. And that's the one that takes 50% of all cuts. If Congress gets trapped in an impasse, 50% of all cuts go directly to DOD's budget. The top players to watch in the super committee, you're going to want to pay particular attention. I would watch the Senate side. I think that's where the more moderate activities you're going to see that are going to drive a compromise. The two critical committees will be the Senate Finance Committee and the House Ways and Means Committee. Notwithstanding everyone else's posturing, we will have to, those are the only two committees that have jurisdiction, Senate Finance and House Ways and Means, that have substantive jurisdiction and so therefore could actually come up with some workable mechanisms over both reducing entitlements and increasing taxes. So the three guys I would watch, actually four, I would watch Max Baucus, who's the chairman of the Senate Finance Committee. I'd watch John Kerry, who is also on the Senate Finance Committee. I'd watch John Kyle, the Republican from Arizona, also on the Senate Finance Committee. A little bit of attention to Rob Portman, brand new out of Ohio, but he was former OMB director under G.W. Bush. And in the House, I'd only watch two guys. I'd probably watch Dave Camp, mm-hmm. who is the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, and the House is going to be the key issue here. They're the ones that are likely going to break away if everything deteriorates. And the other one would be Xavier Becerra from California. He's critical because he's a member of the House Ways and Means Committee. So because even if we can have a deal here at the end of the day, mm-hmm. the deal is going to have to be a compromise. And it's not as bad as sure. I'm making it out to be, because basically a $1.5 trillion compromise at the end of the day is approximately basically $750 billion of entitlement reductions and a worst-case analysis of about $750 billion of tax. And I think the Secretary's concern is that he's already given about $475 billion out of his future plan is what he's going to have to contribute. And I think he's worried about that number getting even bigger or possibly even doubling. So if Secretary Panetta was talking on the phone today, I would be listening, not talking. But I think his position is, hey, the job of the super committee is to come up with a compromise on entitlements and on taxes, and it's not to come back and hit the DOD by default in the case of an impasse with it by basically doubling the bill that he's already gotten basically about a week and a half ago.